Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just have a few quick announcements for this week on this Palm Sunday. Kids Connection will be happening at 5:30. I was told it's not in the announcements in your bulletin. It was left out by accident. But also everything else for this week, all the different services we have. There's also a Monday-Thursday service at 7 p.m. with Holy Communion. Also a Good Friday service at 7 p.m. on Good Friday. And Easter breakfast next Sunday at 9 a.m. during the Bible study hour, and that same Sunday is going to be Easter, and 10 a.m. you will be here for church. And so with all that, we welcome you here today for worship. Please rise as we sing our opening hymn and procession this Palm Sunday.
Sweet hosannas ring, you are the King.
open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him.
We now say responsively Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness.
May enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me.
And my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray. Give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God.
And he has made his light to shine upon us.
Bind the festal sacrifice with cords.
Up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
You may be seated, and I invite the choir forward to sing our anthem. Old Testament reading is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I have caught off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks and sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
We up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We now say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, you four.
Good morning.
You guys know what Sunday this is?
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday. What happens on Palm Sunday?
Jesus rode on a donkey.
You rode on a donkey, right. What does riding on the donkey mean? Why do you ride on the donkey? Yeah, you just sit on it.
What does that mean?
What does it mean that he sat on the donkey? Well, what is Jesus doing? He's riding into Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
And so what is Jerusalem known for? Do we know our Old Testament?
Palm branches.
Palm branches, yeah, they had palm trees.
Their Passover?
The Passover meal, yeah, Jesus is going to go ahead and practice the Passover meal that week, and on that Thursday we get the Lord's Supper for the first time. But also, who was king in Jerusalem? Remember, all the way back in the Old Testament, starts with a D.
David,
yeah. And so Jesus
David took on Goliath.
He did. David did take on Goliath.
And then Saul used to be friends with him for a long time until he turned his back on him.
Mm-hmm. And so what does it tell us? If Jesus rode into Jerusalem just like King David, what does it say about Jesus?
That he's the son of David.
He's the son of David. And so David was a king, so what does that make Jesus?
King.
He's a king. Yeah.
King of kings.
The king of kings, exactly.
Kings of kings.
Yeah. And so this was even told of us in the Old Testament. Our Old Testament reading for this morning from Zechariah was focused on telling us that Jesus was going to do this very thing. He was going to ride in on a donkey, and in doing so, he's going to show us that he's our king. Well, what type of king is he? Is he different than all the other kings?
Yeah.
How so?
Because he can heal anything.
That's definitely true, right? He does do all that.
Like when a priest's ear was cut off, he just put his hand on it and it was healed.
Yeah, and what happens after that? What happens the next day?
He
dies. Yeah, he's crucified for us. And so what type of king is Jesus if he goes to die for us? Is he a gracious king?
Yeah. Once he gets whooped and all that other stuff, the king comes up and says, who shall we set free, Jesus or whatever this guy,
Barabbas, yeah, yeah. And they still want Jesus to be crucified, don't they?
Yeah.
And so when he's crucified, what does he do for us?
He takes away all of our sins.
Can any other king do that?
No.
Yeah, and that's, but if they're Christian, they get to rise again on the last day, don't they?
Yeah.
Right? And so there's that, the hope of the resurrection. Jesus shows us that too. And so in his death, he does something that no other king does. He's humble. He's patient with us because he really didn't have to do that. His death was for us, and he died so that we can have forgiveness and live eternally with him. And so that makes him patient because we're not really always the nicest of people. We're not always great. Oftentimes we say we're sinners, right? And so when Jesus dies for our sins, he actually forgives us of everything and anything that would stop us from having a relationship with him forever. And so now we can have eternal life. And we get to live with him and not suffer the punishment because he suffered the punishment for us. That makes him a pretty different king than most kings. I don't think a lot of our rulers today would do something like that for us. Jesus went to Egypt when he was a baby, but now he's...
Did you get to see that thing where there's a lion body resting on a head with the nose on the foot?
He could have. I don't know. It would have been a long time ago. I think you're thinking of the Sphinx, right? But I don't know that he would have saw that. But the point that we're trying to get at today is that Jesus is a far better king than anything else that we could ever have in this world. And so that's why we call him the King of Kings. We call him the Lord of Lords because he is a God that is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, which means he loves us so much that he came to die
except,
and forgive us our sins.
Except when they were selling things in the temple.
Yeah, but he was only angry because they were using his house to do bad things, right? And so since it was his house, he gets to say, you shouldn't do that. But we know that Jesus died for us and forgave us our sins, and he is a king that is humble, right?
Yes.
And in that humility, that led him to death. That's what Paul said in our epistle reading this morning. And so with that, can we close in prayer, and you guys can do your song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Songs, yes. Okay, so let us pray. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
We give thanks for your triumphal entry.
We give thanks for your triumphal entry.
That you showed us that you are our King. Who would die for our sins.
Who would die for our sins.
And deliver us from death.
And deliver us from death.
And give us eternal life.
And give us eternal life.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys can go ahead and do your song.
Ho, 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 ho.
Wrote a song for Palm Sunday, and she updated it just a little bit, so she'd like to sing it for you again.
One day, Jesus rode on a donkey, people waving palm branches, and some people putting their cloaks on the ground, and some people singing Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. And that day, Jesus rode on a donkey, and Jesus rode through Jerusalem, and that is how Palm Sunday was made.
We will now sing our sermon hymn, Hosanna Loud Hosanna, LSB 443.
Hosanna loud, Hosanna, the little children sang. Through pillared court and temple, the lovely anthem rang.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Palm Sunday is one of those church holidays that we all just know pretty well. I mean, we know about Jesus riding into the donkey. We've known it since we were kids, just like I was explaining to the children. They know it very well too, don't they? A lot of other things too that you're curious about this morning. But we know that Jesus riding in on that donkey shows us something. We know about the people crying loud, Hosanna, meaning Lord, save us. We know that the people who welcomed him into the city were all wanting a king. But we knew they were kind of scratching their heads. They're a little confused about what type of king he is. But I do think that's really the highlight of this text, is this confusion. They don't know exactly what they should expect. And what type of king were they thinking this was and what they were going to get? And how was he going to usher in his reign? And what was this kingdom going to be like? And oftentimes, I think we know this text so well that we often just go, oh, well, they wanted an earthly king, like a bread king that's going to give them miracles and food, and he's going to just be a good guy for them. But there's also a little bit more than that, because we do know that the Old Testament people did want to be delivered from their sins. And I think there's part of that is they just don't know what that's going to look like. And so we know about that coming first Good Friday. They didn't quite have that in mind, and they didn't quite understand what that was going to do. But they did want deliverance from their sin. They knew that this Messiah, this king, was going to deliver them from evil and wickedness, but they just didn't understand how it would be. And that's why our text talks about this humility. See, these people wanted a swift hand of deliverance from all the worldly evil. But our text, really all three of our texts, point us to how humble Jesus is. And in this humility, a humility the people didn't quite get. And sometimes I don't think we fully understand it either. Our Lord's humility shows his patience instead of our desire for this swift power and kind of ridding the world of evil. And this humility of our triumphant king really reveals the type of God that we have. As St. Paul said in our epistle reading, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As you enter Holy Week, I'm sure the coming of Good Friday is on our minds. We can't help but know that this triumphant entry is going to end in the death of Christ, that the Son of God will offer himself on your behalf. And this points us especially to that humility in our text. He's selfless. The character of our God, his very nature, is selfless. And in this selflessness comes a patience with us that he's not over-eager and overzealous in a way that he's going to smite us down because of sins. No, he's still got an eternal plan in motion to forgive the sins of the world. And so while these people were expecting this triumphant warrior king, there is this sense that Jesus actually has a far better plan in motion, and he has a long-term solution to all the evils of the world, an eternal solution to the powers of darkness that we recall throughout the whole season of Lent. In fact, this really can be called our Lord's kingdom of grace. This kingdom doesn't work like the world's kingdoms at all. You know, left to the end of our reading, these people are confused. They don't know what's going on, so they don't understand this kingdom. They think he's a prophet, they know he's a king, but what reign this is, they don't quite know. And so the expectation of saving them is there. They say, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. Yet they didn't quite understand that this king is going to humble himself unto death, and that our Lord's kingdom of grace looks far different than the powers of this world, this powerful, swift, and warrior king that they expected and they wanted to rid all of this life of evil. And our Lenten journey really is a part of seeking after this similar humility. To seek it, really, this humility is simple. It seeks not the prideful power of our age, not even when you think, well, you know, if I was in power, this is how I would get rid of all evil. This is what I would do. This is how I would figure this out. If I were president, fill in the blank. So this humility that we are supposed to get from our Lord is actually purging us of all these kind of the arrogant pride that we can have in ourselves, thinking that we can fix things on our own terms and worldly terms. I think we really live in a time that this belief that earthly kings can fix all of our problems, that earthly rulers are able to fix the evils of the world if they just kind of cooperate well enough, if we get the right guys there, it'll fix it all. It's really missing the point. And even how often have we heard this type of idea that if we just get a good Christian leader, a president who establishes good Christian laws, that would fix all of our problems? Or even recently, you know, we'll say, well, what if we just became a Christian nation again? Or even in our recent news cycles, we've heard probably this term Christian nationalism thrown around. If we just had that, that would fix it. The world would be right. But will this fix our world? If we have enough rules, if we keep all the evil at bay by having enough laws in place, if enough people believe in Jesus just hard enough, doesn't that make the world better than yesterday and then somehow make it all better than all the recent evils that have befallen our country and the world in general? I mean, in a certain sense, it's yes, right? You know, we know that if everybody was Christian, maybe some of the evils that we see in the world wouldn't be so prominent. But does that really get to the heart of the issue? And the true question is, would this just be patchwork? Kind of putting a little patch over the leak and letting it try and finish out. Would this actually get rid of sin? Does enough rulemaking and Christian leading actually truly solve the problem of evil in the world? Now, our temptation in this hyper-political world that we live in, I think, is to be enticed by this same temptation the people in our text have. The devil wants you to seek after Jesus for mere worldly fixes to our problems of sin, to pray for him to deliver us from the evils in this life, but not maybe the one to come. And he wants you to really divorce the power that Jesus has from the true source of his forgiveness that flows from the cross. And he would rather you think that if we just get all the right people in office, all the right laws in place, or even just, you know, by acting kind of better in our life, the world is getting better. Now, this was certainly what the people wanted out of a king in their text. They thought that he would come and kind of get rid of all the things, and they would kind of slowly progress toward being better people, and they would have a perfect world again. They wanted a king who would fix the world by an earthly reign through earthly things. Now, the truth is, ridding the world of evil through political leadership and laws doesn't really work, at least not in any permanent sense. Our world can grow in civility with one another, and it's a good thing if we have Christian rulers and that we get along and actually don't bicker all the time. But that doesn't actually fix the problem of evil in the world. In fact, your Christian faith is actually more than just living by an ethical code or having morality in your life. It's actually about a permanent solution to all the evil and wickedness in the world, an eternal solution to the powers of evil. Our prideful thoughts that a more Christian ruler or a more Christian nation, a mere man fixing our problems, misses the point of what Jesus actually came and do as our glorious King that Palm Sunday. Even if Christ himself somehow in our text came and reigned in Jerusalem, that actually wouldn't solve the problem of sin. There still had to be a payment. There still had to be a debt that was paid for by the blood of Christ, by a perfect sacrifice in our place. That would not have resolved evil. We needed Christ to die. That's why Palm Sunday is always pointing and looking forward to Good Friday. And the true power of Jesus, our King, comes elsewhere, and that brings us back to that humility that we emphasize in all three of our texts this morning. Not just humility and compassion and caring for one another, but that he humbly subjected himself to the point of death for your forgiveness. No man, no ruler, and certainly no laws can accomplish that for us. We certainly should want good Christian rulers. That's a good thing. But we will always be disappointed if that's where we look to for deliverance from the evil of the world. Because they can never rid the world of sin in any permanent sense, and we're always going to find corruption if we look hard enough. That's why instead, you humble yourselves. Not quite in the same way Jesus did. And you can't offer yourself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Well, St. Paul sometimes lamented that he wished that he could give up his life for the sake of all of his brother Jews, but he couldn't. And you can't either. And so this humility is actually now crying out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us," just in a renewed sense, not in the way that the people thought in our text, but in the way that we have in view of the cross. And so we cry, "Hosanna," not looking to earthly powers. We know that the Lord will save us from that Good Friday, from the blood of the cross. We even say, "The Lamb that was slain has begun his reign." And I'll leave the last word for next weekend. The King who died is actually reigning right now. And you can pray expectantly for his return and triumph, because that is when all evil will be put to rest and put to death. And so don't make the mistake that the people in our text made today, hoping that earthly kings will solve our problems, that they'll deliver us from evil. Your King rules differently and has given you an eternal solution to every single problem in this world that no earthly kingdom will ever provide for us. His kingdom has come through humility, from his humble death on the cross, the gracious pouring out of his own blood for our forgiveness. And he exercises patience with all of us, hearing our humble cries of, "Hosanna, Lord, save us," because he knows that we too are still sinners. Our King will come again, and on that day, he will deliver us from evil. Until then, even though earthly kingdoms will always let us down, and that Christian man will actually fail to stop the evils of this world and maybe even fall to the wickedness around them, you can hope that Christ, your humble and triumphant King, who is patient and merciful with us, has subjected himself unto death for you to bring an eternal end to all evil. And this is why we continue to pray, "Deliver us from evil." In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we will sing LSB 941. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God.
You are all angel powers, cry out.
be numbered where praises ever end. In glory everlasting, amen, O Lord, amen.
Please rise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. King of glory, Lord of hosts, lift up the gates of your hearts, our hearts, and make way for the blessed Son. Forgive our sins and renew our souls that we may glorify him who died to save. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you have raised up faithful leaders for your church, and we appeal to you to continue to provide pastors and church workers, prosper the works of those who bring the light of Christ to those living in darkness. Bless those whose acts are of mercy, extend your love to the disabled, wounded, and forgotten throughout the world, that your church may serve you in faithful service and witness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you sacrificed your own Son on the cross that we may be called your children. Increase the faith of all Christian fathers that receiving Jesus and trusting in his atoning sacrifice, they might be enlivened to sacrificial love for their children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mighty Lord, all the might of man is nothing before you, yet you have appointed earthly realms and rulers to punish evil and honor good. Give us faithful leaders who will serve honorably and well. Bless also those who serve in law enforcement and armed forces. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, your Son, Jesus, came to deliver his people from all evil. Take away the fear of all who suffer in this world, especially Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Deb, Francis, Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Norma, Ron, Vicky, Kyle, Marilyn, Renee, Michelle, Diana, Carolyn, Jordan, Tyler, Reggie, and the family of Pat Reed. As they await the fullness of their salvation, fix their eyes upon their crucified Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, make our ears like the ears of your Son, Jesus, ever open to hear your voice and ever eager to do your will. As his precious gospel rings in our ears, enliven our tongues to praise and proclaim his wondrous works for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all ourselves, our body and souls, and all things. Save us, O Lord, faithful God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow your example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn.
And